Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be preaching a sermon from 1 Thessalonians with a message entitled, Words of Comfort. Father, bless your word, we pray. Strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I begin reading with verse 13 and continue to chapter 5, verse 11. The Apostle Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come, just like a thief in the night. While they are saying, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night, nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." I speak to you about words of comfort, words of encouragement, and words which are intended to build up within the body of Christ, we who trust in the crucified. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote his letters, he was desperately concerned about what was taking place in the lives of people, in the lives of the believers. The scripture is not simply a historical record of what took place 2,000 and more years ago. It is a record of indeed what did take place, but how that impacts our lives moment to moment, day to day, and how that we are to act upon the truth we have received. We cannot simply take this as information for the head and tuck it away and go on and try to figure things out all by ourselves. We have here the word of God that is given to us in order that there might be an impact. And so it is that Paul gives us doctrine, and then he says, therefore, this is what I want you to do with this teaching, with this truth, with what has gripped you. Therefore, comfort one another. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. At the concluding half of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. That is an incredible privilege which Paul gives to the believers there in Thessalonica and through them down to us as well, because it is the Holy Spirit who Jesus said, I will send the Comforter among you. The Holy Spirit was specifically earmarked as the one who would come alongside of the side of the believers and help them along, indwelling them, moving them forward. Paul now says, you in Thessalonica, you are to do even as the Spirit of God has done in you, you are to do that among other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Great, great privilege. And what does the Spirit do? Jesus himself said, the Spirit would take what I have spoken and make it abundantly real. Here we have the key clue, is that even as Paul takes rich truth and he lays it before the believers of Thessalonica, he lays it before them and he desires that they be comforted and that they be strengthened by this. So all of us, comforting, encouraging, building one another up with these very words. Then at the end of chapter 5, verse 11, Paul says, now, taking this further word which I have shared with you, a word which I have previously given to you, Paul had, only for about 3 weeks, very briefly, come among the Thessalonians to preach Christ to them before he was driven out. But during that time, having not simply told them of Jesus Christ, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, he had obviously also told them about how that Christ would return once again. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, now as to times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. Obviously, Paul, among the other teaching which he had given to them over those very brief weeks, he had shared about the day of the Lord. And here, he says, even though you didn't need it, I have reminded you of it. I've brought it back to the forefront. He says, therefore, encourage one another. Build one another up, just as you also are doing. Now, we can understand that both comfort and encouragement, though slightly different, most certainly in the same quarter, and most certainly in the same corner, and most certainly moving in the same direction. This is what we are to do within the body of Christ. We are not individuals making our way on to glory, thanking God, oh Lord, I thank you that I have made it. I thank you that I'm going to get there. But we thank him and we praise him and we intercede most certainly for others round about us, praying, Lord, not just for myself. I would not want to be all turned in on myself, but I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I pray for their good. Even as Paul, as he spoke to the church in Corinth, he said, preferring others above yourself. This is the heartbeat of the child of God. Have you ever desired that you might be as Paul or as John, who received the revelation? Do you not know that every day you have the privilege of holding God's revelation in your hand. God has revealed himself through his word as most definitely as though he was to stand before you and call your name as he called Paul's name on the Damascus Road, or as he spoke to John there exiled on Patmos. Paul here says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, "We do not want you to be uninformed." Some translations say ignorant. "We do not want you to be blind, brethren, about those who are asleep. All that we have by way of God's revelation to us, and it is that we might be knowing, that we not be uninformed or ignorant, that we not be groping along in the dark." And Paul says, "We also, who understand these truths, want to share them with you. We are concerned that you not be downhearted, that you not lack comfort. We want you to grasp a hold of these things. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you grieve as do the rest who have no hope." There is, of course, a grieving every time there is a death, and every time we stand beside a grave and a casket or an urn of some kind is lowered into the ground or placed away out of sight. And that grieving comes because we are remembering what took place in the Garden of Eden. That there, Adam and Eve, they attended to the lie of the devil rather than the truth of God, and that death has been working in this world ever since. But the believer, we have something which causes us to grieve in a different way. Even though there is that heaviness, yet we have a hope which the world does not comprehend and which the world does not have. We grieve in a different way because we see that that one who has trusted in Christ, that we shall see them again, that there will be a great reunion, one glad day marked on the Father's calendar. Paul says, if we believe. How important is faith? Paul does not say, look, if we work hard enough, if we pay enough. He says, if we believe. Faith is vital in God's economy. It does not work without faith. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, therein is the gospel in the most succinct terms. For Jesus could not have died for our sins except there have been a virgin birth where he entered into this world sinless, and whereby the incarnation he took upon himself a body just as real as your body or mine, and that he take upon himself the sins of this whole world, and that he be the atoning sacrifice for us. Paul says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that there was an unspeakable and indescribable power at work in Jesus' body there in the tomb that raised him out of that stony, absolute death. Paul says, even so will God bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. The same resurrection power which gripped the body of Jesus there in that tomb just outside of Jerusalem will so enliven, will so reanimate each and every one of us who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And Paul goes on, this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This wasn't something that, well, this sounds good and this will encourage the downhearted. Paul is saying, this is right from the Master himself. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, we're still standing up and breathing and going about our business. We are still enjoying the sunshine that is coming down upon our faces. We who are alive, and we're still here when the Lord shall come. We will not take the first step, but it will be those who have fallen asleep. The Lord Himself, not an archangel, not Michael or Gabriel or Raphael or whatever angel else there might be, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven where He ascended, and there will not be simply a choir of angels round about Bethlehem singing to a few shepherds. There will be a shout. There will be the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, those who have preceded us, those who have advanced us, gone on before, they will be the ones who will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be in an instant, in the flicker of an eyelid, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that is how it shall ever be, Paul says. And so we shall always be with Emmanuel. We will be with the one who has loved us, who has given his very lifeblood for us. In this glorious manner, all that this world has represented to us will fall away, and so we shall always be, without ending, without ceasing, always with the Lord. And Paul, he says, comfort one another with these words. And indeed, what words of comfort through times of persecution, through times of suffering? Christians who have been burned at the stake, they have been beheaded, they have been mauled, they have been thrown to dogs, they have been hacked and chopped, they have been mocked and ridiculed in the most vicious ways. They have looked to the great day when they shall stand in the presence of their Lord and Savior, and they have been comforted, knowing that the coming of our Lord is indeed the blessed hope of each and every believer. Comfort one another. Comfort one another. When times are difficult and when things are hard and when people feel like giving up hope, Paul says, comfort that brother. Comfort that sister. Remind them of the great days which are coming before us. Days which shall never end. One of the most wonderful phrases in the Gospels, which I think that most of us breeze past as we're making our way on to other things, is the phrase, and it came to pass. Think about that. And it came to pass. How many things in your experience you could say, yes, and it came to pass? It didn't come to stay. There was a trial. There was a difficulty. There was a situation. There was a heavy load. It came, and then it passed. It did not come to stay. This is what Paul is speaking of, is that in this world we do have many heavy loads, many things that weigh us down. But Paul, as he's coming toward the conclusion of his letters, of his letter to these beloved believers in Christ, with whom he had shared such a brief time, he comes and he says, "Here is words of comfort. Now take them. Be comforted." Even as the Holy Spirit would take the word of Christ and comfort and strengthen and bless your heart, now take that and comfort others. For those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress and how I encourage you to read John Bunyan's great work, you remember that Christian, that is the key figure of the book, that Christian at times walked alone, but at key points God sent help, the man Help who grabbed a hold of Christian's hand and drew him out of the Slough of Despond. There was Evangelist who came and pointed Christian to the Word. There was Faithful who walked with him for a time as he made his way along. Then there were also various other characters who came to dissuade, to pull Christian away. And how many there were of that ilk. Just so it is with us as we press on towards the celestial city and as we press on to glory. We do not walk alone. We are to encourage, we are to strengthen, we are to bless others, for there are many voices which would cause us discomfort, which would cause us to be discouraged and to be torn down. Now in chapter 5, Paul continues, and he says, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you." In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to his disciples, after they had said to him, "Lord, is it now? Is it now that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Surely there could be a no better time than right now. This must be it on God's calendar." And Jesus said to him, "It's not for you to know the times which God has appointed, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." But even though we do not know the specifics, yet the seasons we know. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, look it up, he spoke how that there would be seasons and there would be signs for us to watch for. Paul here says, "You yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly. What is he speaking of? Here, the world has said, "We've figured it out." Just like at the Tower of Babel, the people, they have rallied together and they have said, "We've got it now. We have an understanding of how we might move forward and how we might figure it out. Peace, safety, it is finally within our grasp after millennia of wars. Peace and tranquility." And Paul says, the word of the Lord is, destruction will come suddenly, and they will be taken completely unaware. But Paul, he refers to those who are outside of the fold of God, those who are not trusting in the Word of God and in the Son of God. He says in verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would take you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness." Paul is saying, as a consequence, act like it. Act like it. You are sons of light, sons of day. Let us, verse 6 then, "So then let us not sleep as others do, But he calls for vigilance. Many times we read in the scriptures, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. Paul here, he calls for alertness. He calls for sobriety. He calls for vigilance. He calls us to act like we are who we claim to be. Verse 7, those who sleep, they sleep at night. Those who do their drinking to get drunk, they do that at night. But since we, believer, we are of the day, we are following him who is indeed light itself and dwells in light inexpressible, since we are followers of the light, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation, faith, hope, love. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is ever near the cross. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Paul could never get past the cross, and his delight in what Christ had done for him and for each and every one of us. So Paul says, knowing this, having your eyes open to this, and now having me remind you of this, comfort your own heart and comfort others also. And he says, encourage and build up one another, just as you also are doing. In a few days' time, I'm going to be visiting my daughter who lives in Cold Lake, and one of the great delights of going to Cold Lake is almost all day, every day, seeing fighter jets swirl overhead, having taken off just a few yards away from the CFB air base that is there. And I would so love to crawl into one of those mighty machines, and as the pilot pushes forward the throttle, and to have him pour on the gas, as I say, pour on the coal. This is what Paul is saying to these believers. He's saying, this is what you've been doing. You have been comforting. You have been encouraging. You have been building one another up. Pour it on. Pour it on all the more.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. We are pleased to announce a brand new music CD of 13 gospel songs under the title, Till the Storm Passes By. You will greatly enjoy hearing these solo and duets from both older, well-known songs like Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, and newer songs like The Power of Your Love. Ask for your copy of this new CD, Till the Storm Passes by either calling us at 1-833-367-3852 or write us at Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C, 2H6. This new CD is sent free and postage paid and is yours simply upon your request. We leave you now with the benediction of the Apostle Peter. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.